This is Logan Seculo. Today, the Georgia DA suggests the Trump trial to begin on Super Tuesday Eve.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. It may seem like a weird joke. Seems like what could be the almost comically planned. You can't even believe that it's actually the case. Of course, the Georgia DA in the Trump trial suggests what day? They suggest they should start the trial. What would be the most ridiculous option? And of course, that is starting the trial on the day before, the eve of Super Tuesday. That's right. If you're not familiar with Super Tuesday, that is the kind of the big day in the primary circuit. You're talking about the day before, the day before Super Tuesday. So that Monday, the next day would again be primaries for Alabama, Alaska, America's Samoa, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia. And what is just 1 week later? The primary for the state of Georgia. If it didn't stink already of interference, I don't know what could possibly. You know, I don't like coming on here and every day talking about this type of situation. But when you have this much ridiculousness happen, well, it is impossible to ignore.
That's right. It's almost as if the DA in Georgia decided, let's pick the most comical, ridiculous time ever to ask for this trial to start. So what President Trump is going to have to be doing is preparing for trial with attorneys and all the other defendants as well, the 18 others. But him specifically, while he's preparing, there's 15 states on Super Tuesday. You don't just go to one or just do a online rally. You go to those states. You're flying all over the country. It's known to be very taxing on candidates because you're having to go to so many places. There's strategy involved. But he's not only going to be having to campaign in 15 potential states, he's going to have to be preparing for a trial if the DA gets her way in this. And then also preparing for all the other primaries that are be going on, including Georgia's own primary the following week. So if it didn't already stink of election interference or meddling, how do you explain this away in any other way other than, what day could we choose that would really throw a wrench in the plans?
It's insane. Of course, the day before of that is the caucus for North Dakota. A couple days before that is for Idaho. So you're talking about a lot of states back-to-back leading up to this again. So again, it's not like the trial would last a day. The trial would last days and days and days, likely, maybe weeks. And in that situation, you would not be able to campaign the last day, the big day, for everyone. And what becomes the number one story is that Trump is, maybe that works to his favor. I don't know. That Trump would be having his court appearances, his trial, right in the middle of primary season. Now, I don't know if it matters in the long run, but it does stink as much as you could possibly stink of some sort of corruption, almost to the point, again, like you said, like they're like, what would be a funny one to pick? Let's pick that one because we know. And now there's a chance that Georgia says, no, we're not doing that. You're not going to be able to put this up. Look at the candidate schedule or the defendant schedule at that point. In this case, they can't do it. But obviously, nothing is off the table. All this stuff happens. I want to hear from you. Does this feel like interference to you? Can you even believe it? Because it doesn't sound real. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. At the same time, we're in the middle of our Life and Liberty Drive. Again, you've heard about, obviously, all the attacks that are happening on Christians throughout the world, but throughout this country, it feels like the Biden administration has been waging a war on Christian faith, and it's not even paranoia at this point, guys. It's fact. You have Bibles being ripped out of kids' hands, pastors being arrested just for praying, churches are prohibited from worshiping on their own property. And we know the deep state FBI just admitted to a judge that they collected over 1,200 pages for their, radical Christians who are just pro-lifers, essentially. And we found that out in our FOIA documents. And we couldn't do that without you. That's why our Life and Liberty Drive is so critical right now. So go to ACLJ.org. We can stop them, but we can't do it without you. ACLJ.org, taking your calls coming up. Seculo, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I want to play a clip here from Sean Hannity's show. That was from just yesterday, because this is when this news broke. This is from Matthew Whitaker on Sean Hannity talking about preparing potentially for a Super Tuesday, the week of Super Tuesday, Trump trial in the state of Georgia.
They've now scheduled this first trial on the day before Super Tuesday, where 15 states plus American Samoa are going to go vote. And if you're thinking you can prepare for a trial and visit 15 states in the lead up to Super Tuesday, I mean, that's going to be impossible. So obviously, what Greg's saying is absolutely right. This is all planned and coordinated in order to try to prevent Donald Trump from being strong enough to win the election in November. But knowing the guy like I do, I don't think they're going to stop him.
So what's interesting about that is, one, it does bring up that Matthew Whitaker, who was the former acting attorney general, other people are not calling this, oh, of course it's above board. He sees this kind of as we do, that, of course, you're picking this date for a reason. You're trying to weaken President Trump, and you're trying to interfere with how he would campaign and in his attempt to be reelected in 2024. That's in the middle of the primary season. The Super Tuesday delegate hall is one of the largest halls. That's why they call it that. So if you do really well that day, it sets you up in a prime position to be the nominee. It's not only Georgia the next week. There's about five other states. Mississippi is one of them. A couple of other states as well that have their primaries in that week. You're in the middle of campaign season. So if you do that, but then also, think about what also this district attorney is pushing for. She wants all 19 defendants to be tried at the same time. So not only will it be President Trump in there, it'll be a circus of lawyers and defendants and government lawyers and the press. That's what's going to be dominating TV. That's the imagery she wants the day before Super Tuesday. She wants those initial beginning of the trial, the opening statements to come the day before Super Tuesday. So what the last thing voters see before they go to the polls, because you know it's going to be in state court, it's on television, there's going to be cameras in the courtroom, it's going to be something that you are seeing. But she wants the imagery to be for voters the next day of this circus in a courtroom with defendants everywhere and the former president there.
You think, though,
it's going to be out of control.
They would learn at this point that that backfires every time. That his poll numbers go up whenever they indict him, that this thing happens, that people see this, they see the corruption happening, and they have no choice but then to vote for Donald Trump. That's what happens. I think that's what you've seen the poll numbers just shift in the last 6 months. A lot of that to me is because specifically when you look at where the numbers started spiking, the Mar-a-Lago raid, then all of a sudden it spikes every time that there is another indictment comes in, because the American people can sniff right through it when they see this and they go, oh, well, this just stinks of corruption. So guess what's going to happen? You're going to really enrage a base more than you ever have before. And I think it's backfiring. You don't understand. I don't understand how the Democrats, who are clearly trying to go at this from a different way to try to take down Donald Trump, don't understand that this is not the way to do it. There are other ways. You may be able to creatively get people, at least not even on your side, but not on his side. But instead, you've taken the worst path. You've taken the path where you fully do not understand your own, you know, the American people. You do not understand the Trump base. You don't. And you're silly if you think so. If you don't think that this is just another shot, you know, in the arm to the Trump audience to go, boom, of course this is what's going to happen. And this becomes a meme, and this becomes what's trending. And they're seeing it right now trend. We're seeing it become a viral moment for Fani Willis. Why? Because it stinks of corruption. We see that over and over again. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Elliot, who's calling in the state of Georgia. Elliot, welcome.
Yeah, my question is, and you may have an answer legally, is how, I read through the indictment, is how does Fani Willis, as she's representing Fulton County only, and that's one of the 159 counties in Georgia, how does she have jurisdiction to take the indictment? And it seems like she's saying she's representing the entire state, the election that happened. How does she have the jurisdiction to represent all the other counties that are representative? Because if you look at the indictment, you'd almost think this is something the Attorney General of the state of Georgia would bring forward, right? Because it's dealing with the entire election. So I thought you might have an answer to that.
Sure, Elliot. We actually tried to, make the title for this show. You know, you put a title on Facebook, you put a title on Rumble and YouTube. We're trying to figure out how to word it because it does get a little odd when you start throwing in the DA and you're like, what does the DA have to do with this? Well, the DA suggests the date. So this was, or not suggest, this is where they, yeah, they put this
they
out there.
The court
they asked
for the this court to be the date when the trial begins.
To be the date. And of course, they put the worst day they could possibly pick for them. They think it is. I think it's actually, you know, brilliant marketing from the Trump campaign. But when it comes to that situation, that's how it works. So a judge and whoever makes the final decisions can make that final decision to say, no, this is not right. We will have to see if that's the case. It really depends on who you're going up against. But when it comes to Fannie Willis kind of representing the state of Georgia, is it really where the case is laying?
Well, and part of this, once again, is so a DA will bring charges that are state charges against defendants where these crimes happened in their jurisdiction. And part of what this entire case is, because it is the RICO case, and that is the racketeering and corrupt organizations claims that she's bringing forward here, that's where even if you read the indictment, there are instances that she is alleging furthered the crime in Fulton County, Georgia, that happened in Michigan and in Pennsylvania. So what she's doing by making it a broader conspiracy, she's trying to build a case that he violated in her district the RICO statute of Georgia. She doesn't bring county violations like parking tickets and things like that. She still charges with violations of the state of Georgia's code. And that's what she did here. So I understand his question about jurisdiction, but I haven't seen many people question the jurisdictional issue.
No.
But what we are starting to see, and this is coming out of a state senator, Colton Moore, from Georgia Senate District 53. And he has sent a notice to Governor Kemp and has undersigned other state senators that reached the threshold that under the state constitution would allow for these requests to be made. But he is certifying in writing with a copy to the Secretary of State that, in our opinion, an emergency exists in the affairs of the state requiring a special session to be convened under this section for all purposes to include without limitation the review and response to the actions of Fannie Willis. So the legislatures of the state are concerned that she maybe has overstepped in some of the rules and regulations of the state of Georgia. So they're asking for a special session of the legislature, which is not in session currently, to be convened by the governor for the purpose of analyzing what is going on in the state and whether or not there is any impropriety. Now, I can't speak to the code of Georgia and the Constitution of Georgia when it comes to how that will play out. But what I can play out is it definitely stinks of impropriety when the date she is suggesting to the judge that she wants this trial to start is the day before Super Tuesday and just 8 days before the primary itself in that state, when the president would be probably campaigning in Georgia, knowing it's going to be a hotly contested state in 2024, like it was in 2020. Why this entire charge is being brought is because it was hotly contested. So we know that she chose these dates on purpose.
Yeah, and I don't think it will be in the primary. I really don't see a path right now for any one of this. Yeah, I'm looking at the declared candidates right now, and there's no path to me right now for anyone other than Donald Trump to take this. And that's not someone who's coming out of Trump apologist. I'm not here like, you know, you're running some sort of campaign. I just look at the numbers, and the numbers, if they don't lie, I mean, this is a absolute, you know, insanity right now. I mean, you have DeSantis 40 points, 50 points behind in most of these polls. So what are we talking about here? Now, hopefully there's a debate coming up. Maybe things will get interesting. I like it as a fan of politics and as a fan of the debate and the primary process. I'd love to see it get mixed up and have some fun here, but truthfully, right now, we can't be blind to the fact that it just doesn't look like any of that is going to happen. We're going to take some more calls coming up in the next segment, but we're also going to, in the next segment, talk about some of the pro-life work that we're doing right now. There's been a major, major change in the world of the pro-life world, especially when it comes to pregnancy resource centers. We're going to discuss that with CeCe Heil coming up next. I know a lot of you probably saw some of the news about the abortion pill, some of the news that happened with that, but we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about some work that we've done when it comes to the crisis pregnancy centers or the pregnancy resource centers, depending on how you want to define it, and their ability to actually share their pro-life message to mothers who are in crisis, or mothers or single mothers, or people who are just trying to figure out what to do. And we're going to talk about that coming up. But we're going to keep the conversation going also about Fannie Willis, state of Georgia, and President Trump. Again, if you're just tuning in, because a lot of people just joined us on Rumble, what we're talking about is the fact that guess what day was picked for Trump's trial to begin in the state of Georgia, or suggested by the DA? Of course, the day before Super Tuesday, Super Tuesday Eve. So we're going to just keep discussing that, as well as move on to some other topics as well. We are in the middle of our Life and Liberty Drive, and really we're going to hit that coming up in the next segment. You're going to hear about the life portion of our Life and Liberty Drive. We are talking about stuff that is just on the tip of the iceberg when it comes to whether it's the FBI, you know, placing spies in churches, or whether that's, you know, churches being prohibited from their speech. Or you'll hear some of the speech issues that are going on right now in these pregnancy resource centers, and why we're there and why it's important to get involved in the ACLJ. And right now, it's the first time we've ever done this. It's the Life and Liberty Drive, and all of those funds are matched. So go to ACLJ.org right now. We are in the middle of our Life and Liberty Drive, and we're going to move this conversation a little bit to the discussion of life. We've talked a lot about religious liberty. We've talked a lot about freedom of speech. We've talked about the whistleblower situation, but we have to still talk about the life part of our Life and Liberty Challenge, because the Life and Liberty Drive right now, because we know when we did our polling, not only just the comments that come in, not just the phone calls that come in, we actually sent a lot of you a text message. Maybe you got an email saying, hey, rank these issues, are kind of top 10 issues, maybe top 5 issues that we deal with the ACLJ, and rank the ones you feel are still most important to you. And obviously last year we had the overturning of Dobbs, or overturn of Roe with the Dobbs decision, and a lot of people took that as a big victory, and it was a big victory, and I don't want to downplay that, but what it did was open up tons and tons of cases and tons of really pent-up frustration from a lot of people. And look, be honest, let's just be completely clear, the pro-life world has maybe been under attack the most it's ever been since that decision came through. So while there's not a federal right to abortion at this point, you are seeing state laws being passed that are pretty drastic. And we're involved in all of those and trying to make sure that life is protected at all costs. This actually also comes to the situation when it comes to the freedom of speech and our Life and Liberty Drive, because right now we're joined by Cece Heil, who can kind of explain what's going on right now in the world of pregnancy resource centers. And that's sort of the term that's referred to. If you heard of crisis pregnancy center, same thing. Pregnancy resource center is more how it's referred to now, mainly because of the way the topic has even shifted. I mean, I'll be honest. When we first had our first child, the first doctor we went to, the discussion of terminating the pregnancy came up like very early, and we were married, and this was not a conversation that we were even discussing. But a doctor, or, you know, someone at one of these organizations, these women's centers, essentially hospitals, immediately brought it up. You know, it came up as like almost a, well, you got to work fast. I remember that being a discussion. You got to go fast if you want to make this decision. And we were so thrown off. We changed doctors. All of that happened. But you know that the influence of some of these things are happening beyond just crisis pregnancies. So that's moved. We've kind of changed the verbiage there to pregnancy resource centers. And what we know, CC, is they are trying to silence the speech that is coming out of this. And they're trying their best. The states and the cities are trying their best to keep people from going into these facilities.
That's right. So this case right here, it came out of the Northern District of Illinois. And Illinois had passed a law which was going after these pregnancy resource centers, amending their Consumer Fraud and Deceptive Business Practices Act. Now, I'm going to just do a little caveat here. This is nothing new. In 2010, New York tried to do the same thing, going after pregnancy resource centers in New York with this consumer fraud, deceptive business practices type of attack. And we were involved in that case, and we actually won, took it up to the Second Circuit and won that case. So this is nothing new. However, Illinois did amend, and what they try to do is they try to bring crisis pregnancy centers, pregnancy resource centers, into this Deceptive Business Practices Act, where they tell them that they shall not engage in unfair methods of competition or unfair deceptive acts or practices. And these prohibited acts include both affirmatively making statements as well as omitting information. And where we see this come into play is if a pregnancy resource center talks about the risks or complications of abortion, if they talk about the health benefits from continuing a pregnancy, if they talk about the negative psychological effect of abortion or even having a center next to a Planned Parenthood. Those are all things that will trigger this law. And what was great was this judge said, no, this is ridiculous. It's unconstitutional. And he applied an injunction.
So it was a win.
It was a win.
Yeah, I want to read a quote from the opinion. So this is Judge Johnston, who is out of the Northern District of Illinois Western Division, as CeCe brought up. And he also was appointed by President Trump in 2020, so the last year of his presidency. It just is a reminder of how important these judicial nominees are, especially in a place like Illinois, not friendly typically to life and to conservatives. But this is how he leads off the opinion. Quote, Justice Scalia once said that he wished all federal judges were given a stamp that read, stupid but constitutional. SB 1909 is both stupid and very likely unconstitutional. It's stupid because its own supporter admitted it was unneeded and was unsupported by evidence when challenged. It is likely unconstitutional because it is a blatant example of government taking the side of whose speech is sanctionable and whose speech is immunized on the very same subject, no less. SB 1909 is likely classic content and viewpoint discrimination prohibited by the First Amendment. And that's what we fight for every day for the entire history of the American Center for Law and Justice. The ACLJ fights for that daily.
And obviously the issue of abortion rights and the pro-life cause has been something that has moved and changed throughout the years because this is part of our life and liberty drive. We know that the number one issue on your mind are often number one or number two is really where we've seen for most of our audience. This is still very highly up there, specifically among people who support the ACLJ, whether that's donors, whether that is members of the organization. You may be watching on Rumble or Facebook. You may be new to us on YouTube, and you may go, well, that's not really my number one topic, but we're talking about historically over a 30-plus year period that has been one of our top issues. And we'd love you to get more informed and engaged on that issue as well. If it's not what you're here for, and you're here because you just saw, because I know a lot of the push notifications just went out. If you're here for the situation involving President Trump and the Georgia trial starting on Super Tuesday, we're going to get back to that. We're still taking calls on that at 1-800-684-3110. But this kind of work that we are doing is immensely important. While it's always important to report the news, it's mainly important to get involved with what is happening on your local level. And you can do that as by being a supporter of the ACLJ. There is not a better time to do that because we are focusing our month of August on specifically life and religious liberty and liberty overall. So pro-life causes like this, and we've seen the Biden administration kind of wage war on people who are pro-life and by adjunct Christians in general, just essentially people of the Christian faith. It's no longer paranoia. It's no longer any kind of just conspiracy. This is actually happening. We've seen it, CeCe, even with cases we've had where in the schools, we're seeing people getting their Bibles taken away or we had a case where a kid's cross got ripped off, taken from them. You know, they are wearing a cross removed from. We've seen this attack on not just, the pro-life part of that is such a big part of this. Obviously, it's tied deeply to a lot of people's Christian faith, but just in general, the sort of attack on people of specifically Christian
faith. Yeah, and you see that too. That when the Biden administration literally puts basically a war out or cries for war against Christians, conservatives, you see that across the board. And you see that trickle down to exactly what you're saying. Schools, you see, the FBI going after pro-life protesters. Right. And you see that when the administration sets a policy, it trickles down.
Yes, and this is a much bigger process. And when you have people like CeCe and our ACLJ legal team that are really boots on the ground doing this work, we can't do it without you. And I don't know how to really express it even more. You may listen to a lot of broadcasts. Likely you do. Some people just listen to us. Great. That's fine too. But the ones who listen to spend their whole day watching different cable news or watching Rumble or watching YouTube and finding out all the different nuances. Remember, unlike everyone else, and I mean it, unlike everyone else, the difference is when this show ends, the work doesn't stop. We don't just come back tomorrow, report the news. Immediately when this show is over, and right now as we speak, because obviously we're just a couple people involved in a massive organization that is going into the courts and getting things handled. We are going to Washington, D.C. and getting things handled. We are involved in the media world, and so much more of that is coming, because we know the attack on Christianity, the attack on people of faith is really, really prominent right now. in the world that you're getting just entertainment or news or whatever it is, and we're going to be involved in that in so many different ways. We can't do it without you. We got another half hour coming up. If you don't get on your local station, find us broadcasting on social media. I'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to start things off this second half hour by taking calls. If you're brand new to the show right now, you know we have been talking about what is going on in the state of Georgia, which we have a suggested trial start date now from the Georgia DA, Fani Willis. And of course, is when? On the eve, the day before Super Tuesday.
Just a coincidence, right?
They're like, what's good? You know, a little bit before spring break. Maybe they thought, you know, when can we do it?
Get it over with early in the year, right?
Of course. Can't do this in any other time. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls related to this. Let's go to Dio, who's calling first in Washington. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate all you do. About this, you talk about making this a circus. I must think the American people are not very bright or something, because they're making this so obvious.
Yeah.
And especially if they're going to try all the people at one time, are they trying to hamper these defense attorneys by making it this way?
Yeah, Dio, we've had a lot of discussions about that, and I want to kind of say that we'll probably discuss that much more at length another time. But when it comes to, you said, the circus and how stupid they think we are, I don't know if they think that way. I think they think, what could be the worst thing that could happen to President Trump? And in their heads, it's to put this on the day before Super Tuesday, keep him from being able to campaign, keep him from getting out there. I do think that it is specifically tied to this. However, I think they totally misunderstand and misrepresent the conservative Trump-supporting audience. I don't think they get it at all. I saw some people comment, by the way, that they were like, oh, Logan, he always talks about other candidates, too. He talked about DeSantis. He talked about he wanted to see a fun debate. I just want to see a fun debate. I have no, I'm not endorsing or
the 2016
anyone.
Debates were very fun to watch.
Yeah, I'd say that's television.
Right.
That's entertainment for a lot of us. I want to see it. But, to me, that's what's unfortunate. It's not that unfortunate that President Trump is destroying in the polls. I get it. I mean, honestly, right now, Bill Maher, who I don't necessarily quote a lot, but more recently, he's kind of become more on our side in a weird way. He said something to the effect of, and it really was the first thing that really rang true to me. Why has the Trump audience been so significantly larger than, say, DeSantis? They're saying similar things. And he said that, everyone else is like a tribute act. And if you saw Ron DeSantis on tour, you'd be like, that's like going to see, the Rolling Stones tribute act when the Rolling Stones are still touring.
The Wanna Beatles.
Right. And that sort of clicked in my head going, oh, he's right. That makes sense to me. Because if you're saying similar things, why not go with the tried and true? Why not go with the guy who's already been the president, especially during times of crisis? So I get it. But it is that sort of under the fact they think they're lurking in the shadows, like, we're going to get him because we're going to put it on day before Super Tuesday. It just plays into it. Now, I think it's gross. I think that it sounds like a sketch. It sounds like a Babylon Bee article. Or, it doesn't feel real because it is insulting to everyone's intelligence. You're right. However, it's not unexpected. It's not a surprise. If they were going to pick a date, of course they're going to pick one with such massive consequences. Obviously, if you don't know what Super Tuesday is, I know most of you do, but if for some reason you don't, it's like the biggest day in the primaries. So you have just on that day. So let's say this starts Monday. So the next day, you'd have primaries in Alabama, Alaska, America, Samoa, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia. A couple days before, you have Idaho and North Dakota, and just 1 week from then, the state of Georgia. Now, I don't know what they expect the consequences of that are going to be, because I think most of the people going into the primary, if the numbers stay the same way that they are right now, in 6 months from now, when we get to March or whenever long it be, 8 months, then we will be at a point where I think you'll probably have a locked-in nomination by then. But it'll be interesting time. We're going to take a lot more of your phone calls coming up in the next segment, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear more of your thoughts about this. If you've been on hold, send me on hold for 20, 25 minutes. I appreciate it. We wanted to get to our pro-life work in the last segment, so it took a little bit of time from calls. I will get to you coming up. All right, 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ during this Life and Liberty drive by going to aclj.org, where all of your support is matched dollar for dollar to defend religious liberty and pro-life. Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to kick things off by taking your phone calls. Phone lines are jammed right now, but they'll open up. Let's just go in some of the order right now they came in. Bill in Wyoming. Bill, hold for about a half an hour. I appreciate it, Bill. You're on the air.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call. Now, this may sound strange. This is the way I'm thinking, but I'm kind of thinking that maybe this is going along the same line as the O.J. Simpson trial. Now, let me support
my thesis. Bill, let's say, okay, where are we going here? Go ahead.
I'm not discussing the trial, okay, what happened in the court case or anything like that. I'm talking about the aftermath. Mr. Simpson's reputation was completely shot, shattered, however you want to describe it, and he became a joke. And maybe my thinking is that maybe if they can't ruin the former president by politically, maybe even reputationally. Now, I'm not too sure if my thinking's right, but...
I understand where you're going with that, Bill, that, you know, regardless, so I guess to take aside the fact that O.J. Simpson, what he was alleged to have done, but the idea that even though he was acquitted of that, his reputation was so destroyed, it's not like O.J. had a big comeback. I mean, occasionally he'd have a book out, occasionally he'd get him on Cameo doing a video, happy birthday for you, but it's not like he all of a sudden had a big career, and he had right before, you know, before that, obviously, was coming out of the Naked Gun series and all the different things. He was a pop culture icon beyond even his playing years, so I can get where you can put those two together. Now, what I do think is that we live in a very different time, and right now, one, nothing is being alleged President Trump did that would even come close, obviously, to what happened with O.J. Simpson. Want that out there. But what I do think is that the American people are a little more cynical now. They are a little bit more clear-headed when it comes to the way politics and the court and the FBI and all these things and how they all kind of work under a more political motif than they maybe ever have before.
Right.
So it's why the numbers go up when he gets indicted. If you probably took this to the 90s, where the only time the only media you were able to consume was mainstream media, and there was no even Fox News at that point, then maybe you're right, because he goes, it destroys his reputation, he becomes a joke on every television show, and that's it. But they've tried that time and time again.
Well, and it goes back to the bite we played in the first half hour from Matthew Whitaker, where it said the strategy almost seems to be take up all of his time so he doesn't have the time to go run for president in the proper way. He doesn't have the ability to campaign in the states he needs to, because he has to be at court hearings. He has to be in that's the pile-on we've seen. That's why this is the fourth indictment. The left is trying their hardest to hit him at every possible point to tie up his bandwidth. And that is sort of the playbook from 2020, where because of the pandemic, President Trump wasn't able to go do the campaigning that made him successful in 2016, along with other irregularities that came along with the entire election there. But that was part of the playbook, was that Biden just sat in the basement. We all know that. That was the joke then.
Yeah.
But because he couldn't get out, that's tying the hands of Donald Trump so he cannot campaign the way he wants to campaign is their seems to be their thought process. But it goes back to your point about poll numbers. Biden's poll numbers months ago were actually much better in the head-to-head race versus Donald Trump. That was one of the things the Democrats were banking on. It didn't matter if he was running away with the Republican primary. It was almost better for them if he did. But if they could hamper him from running against Joe Biden, that was the key. And when you look at the latest poll numbers here, the average has Joe Biden only up 0.4 on the Real Clear Politics average over Donald Trump, 44.4 to 44%. That's a dead heat. But when you look at all of the polls, Fox News from just 3 days ago, Quinnipiac from 3 days ago, Marist from 3 days ago, every single one is within the margin of error. And they're really only about a point apart in each of these polls. So within the margin of error, statistically speaking, Donald Trump could be ahead. Joe Biden could be ahead. Yeah. It's kind of a toss-up and they don't know. I think, to your point, all of these distractions that the left is trying to put on with all these multiple indictments and dragging it out is actually helping in the perception of the American people. And they're like, you know what? even the people that were maybe on the fence or like, I'm just not going to respond to a poll this way. They're now saying, no, I would take Donald Trump over Joe Biden because they're fed up with it.
All right, let's continue on. Let's take some more phone calls. Let's go to David, who's calling from New Mexico on line one, watching on YouTube. Thanks for watching, David. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is this. Now, if and when Trump gets reelected, all of these attorneys that are doing all these charges, including, you know, the DOJ and all that, could they now be charged with a seditious conspiracy to undermine our elections?
Now, Logan and I are both not attorneys, but we are surrounded by wonderful legal minds here at the ACLJ. From everything I've heard, no, that doesn't seem to be a thing that would be one proving corrupt intent when they are putting forward going through the normal processes of the law, whether or not it's unfounded or not. I don't believe that the district attorney could be held criminally liable. But when you talk about the consequences that are coming out when you have a special session potentially being called in Georgia by their legislature, there are political ramifications. You could be removed from office even though you are an elected position. It kind of goes back to that kind of impeachment type thought process when you think about a president can't be investigated. It is different. It's not that same level. But there are political ramifications that could flow from this in many places. And when you talk about the DOJ and the special counsel there, it proves that we need the DOJ to be cleaned up by whoever the next president is, because no, the special counsel is not going to be charged with a seditious conspiracy to undermine an election. But it could be that the DOJ is finally reformed so that we see these deep state actors be taken out of the Department of Justice so we can have a real system of justice.
David, I think one of the key points in a lot of this, and we've kind of discussed this a lot, which is the freedom to believe what you want. If you want to believe that there was a conspiracy, you may want to believe the other way. You may believe that Donald Trump did all these horrible things. You have the right to believe it in our country. You have a right to believe the election was completely 100% legitimate. You have a right to believe it was not. And we, as people who believe in the freedom of speech, and believe at the ACLJ that speech is protected like that, that you can choose to believe what you want to believe in this country, we're not going to throw you in jail because you have a different belief. That is what I hope. That is not the way it's been presented for other people. That's not the way it's being presented for President Trump right now. It's being presented that just because he believes, and I truly believe he does believe, that he had an unfair election. Whether you want to believe that or not, I don't care if you want to believe it or not. It doesn't mean you should be going to jail for it. But that is not the way it's been held right now. And sadly, that's where we are. So we also can't be the kind of people that hold some sort of weird double standard where it only applies to us when it's in our favor. So I think that's important to stick up for the freedom of speech at all costs, regardless of the speech. We're going to continue taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And when you think about not only the freedom of speech, you think about the freedom to practice your faith, how you'd like to do it. And right now, this administration, you've heard me say it already in this show, they're waging war right now on people of a specific faith, and that's of Christian faith. And you may get a lot of people blow back and go, that's not true. That's not really what's happening. It's no longer paranoia, folks. It is actually happening, and the ACLJ is on the front lines of it. Whether that is the big picture things, whether it is big moments, that freedom of speech that I talked about, or whether it is something that you think is small, like someone not being able to bring their Bible to school, or and having their kids having their Bibles ripped out of their hands, or crosses ripped off their necks. This stuff is happening in America in 2023. It doesn't feel like it should be, but it is. The FBI was planting spies in churches. Okay? We uncovered a lot of this in our FOIA work, Freedom of Information Act, if you don't know what that is. 1,200 pages of documents showed that they were looking towards Christians and specifically pro-lifers after the decision in Dobbs. A lot of this came out, Roe was overturned, and as we heard from our whistleblowers, what did they do? Did we go, hey, maybe we should go after those who went to the Supreme Court justices' houses and threaten them with their lives? Maybe we should be talking to them? No, they went to the pro-lifers. This is why Our work is so drastically important right now, and it's why our Life and Liberty Drive is happening for this month of August. We have focused our resources on life and liberty, the two things you told us are number one, because this is how a totalitarian, I can say that word, regime starts, by attacking people's faith and attacking people's freedom of speech. We've seen that time and time again. And look, you may be starting to get those ads. I've seen them now. America's turning 250 years old. Well, you know what happens a lot of times after 250 years? A lot of civilizations don't make it. And they don't make it because of these kind of restrictions that start happening on people's freedoms. But we can stop it. We just defeated it seems like, again, how much we just defeated a ban on Bibles for students at a senior living center. Or studies. There's Bible studies happening at these senior living centers. They said, you can't do that. Well, we went in as the ACLJ. We stopped that. Those Bible studies are back going. It seems small, but for these people who are involved with it, it is so massive. And we can do that on all different levels. And if you need legal help like this, we will do that for you at zero cost. ACLJ.org/help. But right now, Life and Liberty Drive, ACLJ.org. Taking your phone calls. Coming up next segment, 1-800-684-3110. Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to take your phone calls. I'd love to hear more from you. 1-800-684-3110. Last time to call. If you're one of the thousands watching on social media, you get your comments in there. But I appreciate you calling. I like hearing your voice. Is this a good time? Tell them you're listening on Rumble or YouTube or Facebook. Make sure you tell our phone screener that. I like to know. We've got a couple people listening from radio. So let's go ahead and go to them. Let's go to Mary in Maryland on line four. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I have a question about the abortion problem. And I noticed that in the last segment, something was said about how the Supreme Court had voted to send the abortion question back to the individual states. And that got me thinking about the fact that there are people in states that are very anti-abortion, pro-life. And I was wondering if someone from that state could sue the federal government for spending funds on abortion, which pays our taxes, those who disagree with it, when instead they should just let the states themselves that are pro-abortion pay for it and leave the other states out of it.
Yeah. Mary.
So, Mary, federal law right now under the Hyde Amendment is that federal funds should not go to pay for abortion. So what the federal government does is they get very creative in the way that they, especially when it comes to the Democratic Party, because they so heavily worship at the altar of abortion, is that they will then give money to Planned Parenthood for family planning services, for other types of aid that way. And so it really offsets the amount of dollars that then organizations like Planned Parenthood can free up their funding to cover the cost of abortion. So it's using the fungibility of money by taking $500 million from the federal government so that they can use their other funding, their outside funding, to cover the cost of abortions in many cases. And we've been calling it out for years. The problem when it comes to their accounting gimmicks that they use is that that's not something you can directly sue against, because it's the agenda of the left getting around loopholes in the law to continue to give money to pro-abortion groups. But one of the other issues that we see is that the Biden administration is so heavily committed to trying to provide abortions across the country that you see what they're doing, where they create a rule within the Department of Defense where they're reimbursing and paying for the cost of travel to get people in the military to go to different states to cover the cost of abortions. And there are challenges that are rising up out of that, because it is a concern that they're going in contrast to what federal law states. But as far as an individual citizen from a state like Tennessee or Alabama or Florida bringing a lawsuit, this issue there is standing, whether or not they would have the ability to actually bring that lawsuit in the eyes of the court. And a lot of the analysis is that a citizen couldn't. It would actually have to be sometimes a state, or it'd have to be a member of Congress. But those issues are being looked at by very smart attorneys to try to figure out how can we put an end to this ping pong approach that the Biden administration is doing to get around federal law.
All right, let's continue on, take some more calls. We'll try to get to as many as possible. Let's go to Charlene, who's calling in Arizona on line one. Charlene, we'll put you back on hold, and we'll get to you. Oh, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we'll put you on hold. Let's get back to her. Let's get her to turn the radio off. Let's go to Lenny, then, who's calling in New York. You're on the air, Lenny.
Yes, hi. My question is, with all the charges against President Trump and the investigations into Joe Biden, how can we be confident moving forward that these things will be resolved properly, considering all the corruption that's in the path they have to take?
Look, I think that's a big, big question, Lenny. That's something that we've discussed here, which is crazy. You're going to have probably, as of right now, if all things shake out the way they seemingly are right now, I mean, you have a RFK Jr., you know, getting 10-15%. It's not enough to make any difference, really, as much as I know a lot of our listeners have liked some of the stuff he said. You know, he had some issues with the life situation recently, and I think that probably took a lot of our supporters and said, okay, I can't really get behind him. But you bring up this sort of, you know, if we're just going to be honest, the criminal side of what's happening right now, whether it's the investigations or trials or now the indictments that happened against, whether it's President Trump or President Biden. The fact that you'll have the two of them going. Sadly, I think this is the nature of politics 2023. This is what happens when you make an impeachment worth nothing. This is what happens when you take a path that really isn't how American politics has looked in the last 50 years. Before that, guys, it was pretty crazy. Really go look into your history and see how crazy it was. Okay, we all live in sort of a modern time when you think of the last 30 years, kind of a post-Carter presidency. Even then, you know, post-Carter, things kind of settled down a little when it came to the American presidency. But before that, you had Nixon, you had Kennedy, you had all these situations. We go right before that, man, you go back into, you know, Andrew Jackson, you go back into, you know, obviously Abraham Lincoln, everything that's happened historically. The world of politics has always been insane. But it hasn't been like that in the modern times. We kind of have progressed into modern times. However, when you start trivializing the presidency, when you start bringing lawsuits that feel unfounded, and by the way, I think some of the lawsuits against the Biden administration have a very, very strong backing to be legitimate. It's not that I don't think that any of these are illegitimate, but we have certainly changed the way politics works in America. Let's quickly go to Char. And how do you trust it? I don't know. You have to deal with that yourself. You got to deal with that in your own mind and go, who do you believe? I guess that's it. Quickly, let's go to Charlene back if she's there. Charlene, you there?
I'm here.
All right, you got about a minute. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I wanted to call today to just let you know that I appreciate everything the ACLJ is doing and accomplishing. My question today is sort of a statement and a question. I would like to remind this federal administration that we fought the first American Revolution because of the tyranny that existed from England. Short of starting the second American Revolution against the current tyranny being imposed on the country and the people from this now weaponized government, what can the citizens of this country do to fight the weaponization of the federal agencies? Because it doesn't seem like the state representatives are acting efficiently enough to stop the tyranny.
Charlene, we are here for you. That is the point of the ACLJ, one of our biggest initiatives right now during this Life and Liberty Challenge. We have been talking about this Life and Liberty Drive. We have been talking about this over and over. The fact that it seems hopeless, but look at our track record. Our track record shows you it's not. We have taken on those three-letter agencies. We have taken many of them, gutted them, changed the way they work. There are people involved, like our whistleblowers that we are representing, or people involved that are going to stand up, and we can't do it without people like you, Charlene. We can't do it, because that's how the American people actually can stand up to this. We do have a system, and yes, that system may seem completely bonkers sometimes. Often. That was maybe the biggest thing we talked about today. But there are times when we win and we've won more than we've lost by a landslide. And we can't do that without your support. So I'm going to ask you the last time today, support the Life and Liberty Drive. We have seen the war waged upon us, and that is true. It is not paranoia. It's fact, as I've said now countless times. However, we can fight back. We have done it successfully. We will do it again and again, but we can't do it without your support. So all you have to do is go to aclj.org. Any donation that you make with your support, dollar for dollar, it's matched. It's all doubled from other great ACLJ supporters. But right now, you can defend your freedoms, and we can stop the corruption that's going on. We can't do it without you. So this is our Life and Liberty Drive. This is the most important month. This is the first time we've ever done it. Get involved. We'll be back tomorrow.